everybody, and welcome to another Disc Golf Podcast, where we bring you the latest news in a slightly skewed perspective.
Very skewed.
I am here with the ever-present, the ever-with-it, the ever-woke, Travis Rebant. How are you, Travis?
Pretty good. Like to get out and see that Wintertime Open. You know, it aired this weekend, so...
Yeah, we've been refreshing the YouTube channel, Central Coast, waiting for the cup. That's all we've done. All we've done is watch coverage all winter long, and now there is new coverage. And just, I know it takes a while to edit, but come on. Yeah, come on.
It's like 6 o'clock Eastern time. Like, man.
Yeah. I mean, and then last night, the set for the second round, full disclosure, we haven't got to see the coverage of the third round yet. We know the results, but we haven't got to see the coverage yet. Still on the way. It should be. It is Monday on this time of recording, and it should be out in about another 3 hours.
Another 3 hours.
So we'll definitely get to check that out. But last night it was weird. We were so on it that we were able to cast it to the TV
within the first 9 minutes.
For the first 9 minutes, and then it wasn't up on their YouTube channel anymore.
Yeah, they, like, took it down, like, and then we had to wait for another hour, and then they posted both rounds.
And they turned it private for something, and it was, like, a half hour later. Probably more than that, maybe an hour later.
Yeah.
Because we watched the entire half hour of the coverage, and then...
Switch on something else, and because there's nothing else.
There was nothing else. There's no other disc golf going on. We've seen all Simon's videos. Brody hasn't posted anything. Paul hasn't posted anything because he's been playing. Central Coast was our only hope. They were our Obi-Wan Kenobi. But, more on the Wintertime Open later. The course was good. I like the course from what I've seen. It seems like something I could probably do good at. It didn't seem like a super long course, but again.
That island shot on like 12?
Yeah.
That seemed like it'd be a pain, but.
You know what? I'd do it.
I'd still do it.
I'd still send it.
Full send.
Full send Friday.
Full send on the oldest course in disc golf.
At the 42th. 42nd.
I don't know, man. Fuck. 40 teeth. That course will eat you alive.
Yeah, it'll eat you alive.
That spider tree.
Man. A spider tree with 42 teeth. Oh, man. Anyways, so, Travis, on the bright note, we got to play some disc golf over the weekend.
Oh, it was beautiful.
So good.
Like, so much snow, though.
So much snow. So much snow. So, me and Travis actually went and played the 12th annual K-Town Ice Bowl. And you guys that play ice bowls in California or Texas, you have literally no room to talk about an ice bowl.
They dug out the tee pads like a 2 foot
at least. It was at least 18 inches around every tee pad.
It's crazy.
And you had it was literally a wall of snow in front of you.
Not really enough room for your X shots. You just
it was something. It was something. How'd your round go, Travis?
Well, we went neg 7 in 26 holes.
I guess I should have mentioned it was random draw doubles.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was 27, full 18 with 9 temporary holes. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we hadn't got to play since Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Is the last time we went out.
Well, that's the first time I put ribbons on my disc, too. So that
Same. I don't play in the winter.
Yeah. It was. They were flexing weird. Like, the lines that I'm usually sure about, they were not hitting the way I wanted them to.
Yeah. Plus, the cold and the disc get stiff. And
I mean, still, I put that more on my back than. Right. Like, I should be able, in 26 holes, be able to understand.
Yeah. I know. My most understable discs were kind of just flying straight for me yesterday, and that wasn't fun. Because I was expecting to get, I'm the type that will throw everything flat and let the disc do the work, so I have a lot of discs in my bag.
Right.
And, I'll take an understable disc that's severely understable, like a heat, per se, and I'll throw it flat and then let it ride off to the right. And it was just kind of going straight, and I couldn't do anything about it. I mean, that's not to say I didn't have any, like, good shots.
Right.
I had some good shots, but I had to manufacture them instead of just letting to just do what they needed to.
That's the only time I think having a bigger bag would help, because I throw with 5 discs, so I usually manipulate my shots as is, but if I can't get the manipulation that I'm usually having with my 5 discs, my game's going to alter so dramatically.
Right.
And it would have been nice to have a different disc so I can, like, okay, well, this one does this, so I can, you know, get it to maybe fly more straight and get the shots that I need.
Yeah, but my partner definitely carried the team. Yeah. I made a couple good good putts. I mean, I had a few good drives. I parked a couple holes, which I thought it was CTP at every hole.
Yeah, I think there was a couple holes that were missing it, or yeah. Like had like a women's CTP.
Yeah, because I started out on 15 because the shotgun started. So it hole 13, either 13 or 14, I parked. I was in with a couple feet, and there was no CTP, and I was looking for it. Didn't see anything.
Was it that one by the pond that you were?
No, I parked that one too. That's my favorite hole.
Yeah, did you get a CTP on that one?
You know, I don't know. I didn't see a CTP. Like,
well, we definitely brought. I started on that hole, and we definitely brought a CTP out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I probably should. I don't know. I was like 5 feet. Yeah. It was a tap-in, so I should have. I guess I didn't even look pay around attention.
Right. Well, maybe that's what happened. Maybe there was holes that did have them, but. I don't know. Whatever happened to the flag?
I don't know. All I know is by that hole, I was ready for lunch.
Yeah.
They served homemade. It was made right there, burgers and hot dogs and chili, and that was a good time, especially after 4 hours of trudging through the snow and cold.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about the snow. Okay, so if you got off the fairways were okay. I mean, they had gone through with a snowmobile, and it was kind of padded down enough that you could walk on it, but you were still sinking. But if you got off the fairways...
The fairway was just a snowmobile track, though. That's hardly a fairway.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a defined fairway, but like you could walk on that snowmobile track.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you got out in the rough at all, there were spots that was up to my waist. The snow literally was up to my waist.
That's no kidding, man. My whole pants were just wet, soaked.
I hit a couple good putts. I hit a good 35-footer. I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
But, man, even in the snow, putting is weird. I couldn't get the weight transfer. It was a good time, though. I had fun. It was nice to be able to go out and throw after a couple months.
And the sun was so...
It was so...
Collecting those serotonin.
Yeah. We soaked up some serotonin for sure. So, it was a nice day. And by nice day, it's February in Michigan. It was 28 degrees. But the sun was shining, so it was a nice day.
Yeah, I got down to just a sweater. Like I was wearing a polo and a sweater, and that kept me quite warm for my core temperature, you know.
I however had an Under Armour shirt. I had a long sleeve tee over that. I had my Discraft sweater, and then I had a sweater that they are actually giving out to raise funds from there. So I had two sweaters. And then 2 base layers, and I was sweating.
I bet.
Sweating.
Once I got to those alternative holes, I was up by the front, so I can just take my jacket off and just set it there and know that I'm not going to have to trudge through the woods, because I've seen somebody leave their jacket out in the woods, too. I was like,
That was actually my partner.
Oh, was it?
He left it on 15. It was what we started out. He put it on the tree, and we get ready to go. I'm like, hey, man, you want your coat? He's like, no, I'll just leave it there because we're coming to... We got to come right back through here again to get off the course. I was like, okay. That was my partner. But yeah, so it was the 12th annual K-Town Ice Bowl in Kalkaska, Michigan. Like we said, 27 holes, random draw doubles. It was a fun event. It had not really unlimited bogeys. I mean, not bogeys, but mulligans, sorry.
Yeah.
But you had one per hole, per person, per team. So yeah. Both of you could have used a mulligan per hole.
Yeah, 26.
And it was $1 each for
charity.
Every mulligan. It all went to charity. We ended up raising about $6,800 for the local charities around there. And you could have paid with cash or non-perishable food items. I didn't actually know about the non-perishable food items.
That's what we should have done.
Yeah, we have.
Let's feed Kalkaska.
We have a bunch of mixed vegetables in the pantry. I didn't know about that. I didn't see it on the Facebook page when the event was made and all that stuff. But I guess they ended up raising about 100 pounds of food for the local food banks.
Yeah, there was 102 players there.
Yeah, 102 players. Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah. Everybody was really nice. I didn't have an issue.
No, they were all cool people.
There was a lot of cool people there.
Very community. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. That was my first time playing like a tournament in Kalkaska, so it was good.
It was a good time.
I enjoyed it. I always enjoy disc golf. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you can't have a bad day.
Yeah, we're all there for the same reason.
Even when you're having a bad round, you're having a good day.
Yeah, for sure. Even when you're trudging through 2 foot of snow, you're having a good day.
But, I mean, yeah. So that was cool. I guess we should talk about some news, unless you just want to. I mean, we can have a conversation. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm doing okay, I guess.
Yes,
I
mean, all right. Fantastic.
Work sucks. I got a big project. The boss is riding.
Boss is riding hard. God damn it.
No, but let's get to some news.
All right.
So first off, move over Paul Macbeth. Brody who? There is a new disc golfer on scene, and his name is Jackie Chan.
Stop. I'm sick of your bullshit.
I mean, Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, sorry. Jackie Chan. Of course, last weekend the Asia Open went down. And, I mean, this kid comes out of nowhere. And I can say kid. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
And, he's playing against the likes of Philo, James Conrad, Nate Perkins, and he beats them all.
Yeah.
And he ends up debuting at a rating at 1040, which is the highest ever rookie debut ever. Unsponsored.
Well, I mean, this is his second tournament because the first one was back in like 2018, but
he lost to Manabu.
Yeah, he came second.
Yeah.
So
either like, a stroke or two.
Yeah, it was very close.
But Manabu is I believe the highest rated player in Japan.
Yeah. He's so, quite up there.
Yeah.
Just in the ratings overall.
Right, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's impressive. And people are talking about, like, oh, it's a little Macbeth.
Asian Macbeth.
I kind of have to agree. Like, it's even as far, like, so Terry Miller finally put up the coverage on it. And we got a chance to check it out. And
we're on it, of course.
Yeah, of course. We waste no time. I don't know how we get anything done when all we're doing is watching YouTube coverage of disc golf. But no, he even goes as far as he's rubbing his hands by his pocket before he starts, and his form looks very similar, and he can crush. He can definitely crush. So,
did you ever watch the Beijing Olympic Open? Or, like, the opening of the Beijing Olympics?
No, I never seen the Beijing. I don't watch. Full disclosure, I don't watch the Olympics. Until disc golf's in there, I'm not watching it.
It was so unison. Like, their ability to mimic is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was so. Which, I mean, if you're able to copy a player or whatever, just. I don't know.
I mean, Macbeth's the one you want to copy.
Yeah, he's the one you want to copy.
For sure.
But, like, watching Jackie Chan play was good.
It was something special.
Yeah, it was something special.
Now,
I'm not sure if I really like that course per se, but
my issue was the course. Like, the design was fine. I've seen worse courses. My issue was the upkeep. And you could tell it was a temporary course and they didn't. It looks like, you know, when you have a field and it's real tall and then they, like, tentatively mow it. And it's, like, still kind of tall.
Yeah, still kind of tall.
That's what it looked like to me. Like, it looked like it was overgrown, and then finally, like, well, we should probably get around to mowing that for the tournament, huh? 2 days before the tournament. I mean, it wasn't.
It was still beautiful. Like,
it was beautiful. Like,
yeah, I would
to go to China,
to
I mean, I don't know about right now.
Right now
there's a
yeah.
lot of stuff going on in China I don't think I want to be a part of.
Yeah, I'd be wearing a face mask. Like,
coronavirus is real. We're not making jokes. That thing's real. And I know it's. I don't know how far the Asia Open was from there, but still.
Yeah.
But we live in the United States and there's 17 confirmed cases of that, so it's a real thing. But I mean, playing in China would be great. The Japan Open, I don't know when was the last time the Japan Open, but I heard rumors that it's coming back last year, and the backdrop of the Japan Open was amazing.
I bet.
Amazing. That'd be one of those courses where I wouldn't even be focused on my game. I'm just right. throwing, just to throw just to because be I have to. Right. But then I'm just taking pictures of the scenery all around. It was right. beautiful.
Which Jackie Chan was just like on his phone recording other people too. Like which was cool to see because
he you
was
could
like,
tell he was like fanboying. Yeah, like, the like fact that he was there
playing with Conrad, Philo, yeah. and Perkins. You know,
I would be too, dude. Yeah, I mean, sure. if Philo was right in front of me throwing, I'd be like, I gotta snap a picture.
See, the thing I'm concerned with though is that. Yeah, he's good there at, like, his home court, right? Well, I know it's a temporary course, but, like, he was still, like, 5 hours away from there. Like,
yeah, 5 hours away, but here's the thing. So the course was put up the day before the event. So, like, I mean, that'd be like us going to anywhere downstate right, and just playing. And then playing a 1040 round. Like, it's amazing.
I just want to see what he does over here, you know.
I think everybody does. I think that's the big thing. It's after he's come out, he's debuted, great. All the Jackie Chan jokes, cool, the memes, whatever. But get him over here. Put him in, like, even if it's just for Worlds, I want to see how he stacks up against, like, Paul McBeth.
Right.
You know, 1060. He's a 20-point rating difference, but also there's less less PGA events over where he lives, and there's less higher rated players. So, could he potentially, you know, come to Worlds
and just best the beast?
I like that. could he best the beast, and you know, bring up his rating to 1065, 1070, and be the highest rated like ever? Could he do that?
I don't know, like.
He needs a sponsor behind him, yeah, for sure.
He needs some backing, for sure. But, like, I don't know, man. Paul is just killing it, like, always. And
he killed it but like, last season. But, he's always just been one in contention. Last season was a sweep.
Yeah.
Absolute sweep.
The highest rated world champion.
Ever. Yeah, he's the highest rated player ever.
But, like, Brody, when he was playing in that video with Paul and Hannah in the front nine of this this Wintertime Open, they got some practice rounds in.
Mm-hmm.
Brody went neg four, mm-hmm. and he did about as good as Adam Hammes.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Adam got neg four in 18 holes, and Brody got neg four and nine. So, who knows? Maybe even Brody will beat Jackie Chan, you know? That's my bold prediction.
Okay. Later on in the show, we are going to do some 2020 predictions now that the Wintertime Open is done, which is kind of the unofficial start of the season. I guess the official start would be the Las Vegas Challenge coming up.
Is it the official one? I thought that was...
That is the first...
I thought that was the A tier, not an NT.
Oh, yeah, you're right, the Memorial. I meant the Memorial.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, the Las Vegas Challenge is an A tier, and then the Memorial is the official start of the National Tour.
Yeah, so. I can't wait to see that, dude. Like,
yeah.
All the greatest.
Which, we should probably make also some predictions for Las Vegas Challenge while we're at it tonight. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But speaking of...
Who's all playing Las Vegas?
Well, I'll bring it up. Right. Speaking of Paul McBeth and Jackie Chan, Brody Smith, and Adam Hammes, the Wintertime Open, which we kind of hinted on earlier in the show, took place over the weekend, of course, in Pasadena, California. Pasadena? Was it in Pasadena, California?
I believe so.
It probably was. Let's see. No.
No.
It was in California, guys. I don't know how to read that name.
Yeah.
It was the very, Southern SoCal. It was the very first, obviously, the very first disc golf course ever. Of course, the tournament's been going on for 42 straight years, which is
incredible.
Absolutely ridiculous. That's 12 years. No, 15. No, that's about, I'm obviously 20. I'm 20 years old. No, I'm 30 years old. So it's been going on for 12 years longer than I've been alive. But, yeah, so Paul, out of the boot, finally being able to somewhat unleash. I don't think
he was still in that splint. That
he was in a brace. Yeah. But my thing is, he hasn't really got to unleash. Like the only
You wouldn't call that unleashing. Unleashing the beast.
There was no 400-foot par threes.
Yeah,
anything over 400-foot was a par four. So it was placement shots. But still, now you said during the Brody round that Paul went, what, a couple under?
Yeah, they went neg four. They both went neg four, I'm pretty sure. No, Paul went neg five.
Okay. But then.
In 9 holes.
Yeah, in 9 holes.
So he's pretty on par for what he was doing this weekend. Yeah, what he's
been doing. So, you know, full disclosure. So this is actually our second episode. The first episode, oh man, that first episode. It was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
But there was some major, major audio issues. So
hopefully it sounds better. Do we sound better? I guess you don't really have a frame of reference, audience, but
tell us how we sound.
Yeah, tell us how we sound. Comment below. Does that have a thing?
No, I mean, actually, yeah. Because this will be uploaded onto YouTube as well. So you can comment down below.
Like and subscribe. Yeah, like and subscribe. Hit the thumbs up button.
Smash the like button.
And the bell or something, whatever they're doing now.
Yeah, whatever. But so actually our episode 1 will be what is to be known as the lost episode. It's recorded. I have it, but I will not be putting it out. It's almost unlistenable. I don't know. Technology, man. It's been a pain trying to get this going, but during the last episode, I did predict that Adam Hammes would come out victorious. He is 2-for-2 on the season. He's a defending champion of this event. So I figured, why not pick Adam Hammes? I mean, Paul hasn't really got a chance to throw, but boy, was I wrong.
I picked Paul. You never bet against Paul.
You never bet against a Sicilian when your life is on the line. But Paul comes out, shoots an 11 under first round. You know, 1063 rated. So right around, basically his rating. Perfect. Adam, on the other hand, shoots 5 down the first round, which right. He was looking rough. I was not expecting that at all.
Like I said, that's Brody's numbers.
That's Brody's number.
In 9 holes.
You got to bump up those numbers, rookie. Those are Brody's numbers.
But that's also with, like, Paul in Brody's ear telling him what shots he needs to make.
Yeah, true.
So that's like a Brody-Paul fusion hybrid mix of incredible athlete. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a Brody mixman.
Yeah, Brody mixman.
But, yeah, so he shoots down 5 down the first round, and it's – I was like, okay, maybe he just, you know, it's nerves. He's on, you know, but I mean, he's been on lead cards with Paul before, and it wasn't even a lead card, it was a feature card.
Yeah, it was a feature. Yeah.
But he's been on cards with Paul before, so I'm like, okay, he's having an off day. Second round, Adam shoots, he goes from 5 under to 17 under, shooting a 1070 rated round. Paul goes 11 under again, still stays in the lead, leads him by a couple strokes, I believe.
And Philo had a good comeback run on that.
Like, yeah, Philo definitely had a good comeback run. He started off rough. It took him a couple holes in the second round to get him going, but
I think he started, like, what, 10 down the second day?
Yeah, I believe somewhere
around
there.
And then he dropped down to, like, 8, but then he, like, came back.
He came back.
He got, like, 10 strokes in the next, you know, like, 10 holes. It was fucking amazing.
Third round.
Like a 58-foot putter.
Third round. Like I said, we haven't got to see the coverage yet. We haven't seen the full arc of what transpired. But Paul Macbeth shoots a 1064 rated round. Ends negative 34. 34 under for the event. Tied for second is Adam Hammes and Philo Braithwaite at negative 27. He leads them by 7 strokes.
Yeah. I mean, he was... Like that shot, that putt that he did from over the branch. Like,
yeah, what? Ridiculous.
What?
Who does that during a competitive round, first of all? Like, he's like, no, I'm not going to go from a knee. I'm going to go over
it.
The branch.
My brain doesn't even work like that. I'd be shooting that low ceiling.
Absolutely not. And then fourth is Kayla Visca at 25 under. No slouch. Definitely no slouch. But Paul taking almost $1,500 for the event, which is pretty good. Not bad. That's I would take $1,500 right now.
Yeah, right.
I don't know anybody who wouldn't. Maybe the guys on the Shark Tank. Yeah. Like, I sneeze $1,500. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing.
And for those reasons, I'm out.
Yeah. But I mean, some more notable names. So Austin Hanum took sixth. Tywood Garrett Gerthy, Steve Rico, which in the last episode I had Steve Rico in the top four. SoCal guy, been playing forever. I figured he would be in the top four. Ended up taking ninth, which
We both had Garrett Gerthy in there too.
Yeah, which he ended up taking sixth.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad. He still cashed, obviously. Yeah, but
still cashed. Can't bitch about that.
And Seppo coming, you know, I think this is his first tournament since coming back over for the off season to the United States. Ended up taking 14th. Still has 17 under. I mean, it's a pretty respectable score, but
that Logan Ryder riding.
Yeah, Logan Ryder.
He has the most amazing cannon. Yeah,
an absolute cannon. 993 rated. Central Coast, had the speed gun.
Who was the other guy? Because he wasn't the guy that was hitting 78.
Logan Ryder was the one.
He was that kid. He was that kid with the forearm that had that turn.
Oh, yeah.
He was spinning that disc so fast. It was ridiculous.
Austin something. You got to watch out for this guy. Legacy sponsored Austin. It's going to really bug me that I can't remember his last name, man. Oh, hold on.
But
Austin Spraulding.
Yeah,
he was. Spraulding? Spraudlin.
78 miles an hour.
Central Coast, of course, had the speed gun up.
Which, Joe Menez, you need to get on that. If you're listening to this.
Yeah, Joe Menez, please do that. We need that. I like that feature. That's a great feature that Central Coast has and Joe Menez does not. But, God, man, that dude can blast. He was taking Simon routes. Who takes Simon routes?
Simon. But he hardly does that in competition. He does it for the crowd. Like this, I think this guy was doing strategically. He was like, I'm just going to take this Simon route because I can throw 78 miles an hour.
it was actually really, really something to see. It was cool.
It was impressive.
Team Legacy rated 971. So if he sticks with it, I mean, I would love to see him go up against Garrett Gerthy for like a long distance competition.
Yeah.
I think that'd be amazing.
Or him and Simon do a YouTube video on just doing Simon lines. Yeah. I think that would be cool to watch.
That'd be cool too. But I mean, he ended 30 in 31st place and 31st place if we're going to stick 31th. With the theme from earlier.
Callback.
At 9 down. He had a pretty good round. 1037 rated, way over his rating. But then he kind of fell back down second round to 973, which is right around his rating, and then a little bit below his rating at 957. Still cashed. Actually was one away from seriously almost not cashing.
I can't believe Lance Brown got that 1019 in the first round after that trash can took his ass
out. Yeah. Yeah, if anybody's seen that. I'm sure everybody who follows, you know, disc golf comedy or some kind of disc golf meme page has seen that video of Austin Brown. Lance Brown. Just absolutely blasting that trash can.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going for like a patent pending shot, and he ripped it straight into the trash can. And
he's lucky he didn't like. You hate to see it. He slammed his hand.
You hate to see it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
Like, that'd be me choking on the feature card. But,
yeah. I mean, on camera. I'm sorry, bud.
Nothing but love. You still got a 1019, which is better than I can throw.
Yeah,
so,
I can't throw a 1019 around, so I'm not going to say anything about it. But you do have that on video, and the internet is forever.
Yeah, and you're on the same card as Paul.
Yeah.
I seen that picture with you, and you kind of look like you're I don't know, maybe fanboying a little bit. I don't know.
You can't not.
Yeah, it's
unless you're Ricky, who's battling forever. He's like,
yeah, Palmer Breath.
Paul again. Paul.
Con.
I don't know. So that brings up an interesting point. I didn't really have this plan for the show, but what do you think Paul and Ricky's relationship is?
Yeah, I think just like that. Very cat and mouse, dude.
Really? You think so?
Because, like, I know Ricky came in and won a couple, and he's like, hell yeah. But then Paul comes back, and he's on top again. Ricky is probably just, like, salty, like, bitter with a vengeance. You know, like, I can only imagine.
I did hear that Ricky said that he will never be on the same team as Paul.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds a little salty. But
also,
you can't have one and two on the same team. That's going to just dominate a sport, you know?
There's, I mean, yeah, I agree with you there. But is it because, like, he doesn't like Paul? Or is it because he wants the competition between, like, disc brands? I mean, even, like, team, quote-unquote, teams are not teams. It's not a team sport. You're doing out there and doing it for yourself. You just happen to be throwing the same disc. But I think my opinion, I guess, would be he feels like he'd be outshined on that team by Paul. Imagine if Paul and Ricky were both on Discraft. Everybody's going to be talking about Paul.
Yeah.
You know, the highest rated player sweeping the National and Pro Tour. Like, I feel like he needs to be the guy. That's why he went to Innova. Paul left, he goes to Innova. Because Innova needed that star player, and he was going to be it.
James Conrad is a good, like,
he's
not number two.
He's not a two-time world champion.
But, like, he can, I don't know,
Conrad's
can make the
good.
Shots. Yeah, he can make
Conrad's
the shots.
Conrad's good. I mean, he would absolutely destroy me.
With a putter.
With a putter. With an AVR.
Yeah.
With a KC Pro AVR. Absolutely destroy me. I'm not saying he wouldn't, but he's no two-time world champion. He's no guy that can battle back at Worlds to come within one.
Okay, so who do you think is going to pick up Jackie Chen? Is it Innova?
Ooh, here you go. Here we go. Hot takes. I think probably Innova. I know Prodigy has...
How do you think Ricky's going to feel about that? If he's not going to be their golden boy anymore.
Mm.
Is it going to be Innova?
Well,
gonna be like...
Here's my other thing. Prodigy has a strong international presence. I mean, they're the ones who sponsor Manabu.
Mm.
And they could possibly pick him up.
Right.
Now, if Innova is interested, they're definitely going to have the money more than Prodigy does.
Well, I mean, as a disc company, how can you see this 1070 rated round, was it? 1060 rated round? I don't know. But
yeah, somewhere around there, yeah. I think his highest round was 1048, and his lowest round was, like, 1039. That's why he debuted right around 1040.
Oh, 1040. But, like, how can you see this kid play and then be like,
how can
you
see this kid play and not want to sponsor him immediately?
Yeah, immediately. Like, I don't...
But, I mean, and then there's the thing, like, of course, I know, like, international flights are expensive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can do it. I mean, he... I don't know. I guess I don't know the guy. I'm not going to say, like, this kid deserves it.
Yeah.
But, god dang, he can play. Like,
yeah,
give
sure.
him a shot. Even if it's just for Worlds. Like, let him do his local circuit, whatever. And then come over for, like, Worlds, USDGC, like, the big ones.
Yeah.
You know, go to the European Open. See what you can do there.
Like, this is a second sanctioned tournament, dude. Like, I just played my second sanctioned tournament over the weekend.
Right.
Did not play no 1040, bro. Yeah, I didn't beat no James Conrad.
That wasn't even
or
sanctioned.
Philo.
That
yeah,
was all for wasn't charity. That wasn't even sanctioned.
Yeah.
I played a couple sanctioned events last year, and I'm not even going to say my rating. It was not good. I did not have a couple good rounds. But, yeah. So, I guess that – I don't know. I think probably it's going to be one of those two, Innova or Prodigy.
Right.
That'd be my guess. And I don't know when or if we're going to hear it. Like, it could just be one of those things, like, the media picks up on it, and it's a big news for a week, and then it goes away, and then we don't hear about it until the next Asia Open. where right. he just sweeps and maybe, you know, jumps up to 1060 or whatever,
that
you know?
That would be really sad to see, though, because...
It'd be super bad. Super bad. Super bad. It'd be super bad. Sad to see.
McLovin.
McLovin. it'd be super sad to see. I'd like to see him come and compete. I feel like every disc golfer who's that good deserves a chance to either grasp it or fizzle out, one of the two.
Right.
But we'll see. Who do you think? Do you think Iniva?
I don't know. I think Ricky would have an issue with that because you can't, like you said, I think he's going to take a lot of spotlight off of him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ricky's about that life. I don't know.
You're right.
I don't know the guy personally.
But just, ultimately, it's not Ricky's seen. Decision. He's yeah. locked into a contract.
Yeah.
If Iniva wants Jackie Chen and they grab him,
they're getting Jackie Chen.
They're getting Jackie Chen. Get him to the Greek. But I mean, that's really all as far as news that I have. There wasn't much going on over the weekend. We're getting obviously closer to the Las Vegas Challenge and Memorial, so there'll be more coming up where we can actually talk longer. But with the unofficial start of the season.
Oh, we're making prediction about the Las Vegas.
Oh yeah.
Challenge because
let's do that last. Let's make our bold predictions.
Our bold predictions,
or unso bold predictions, I guess, and then we'll end the show with some Las Vegas Challenge predictions. So how about you go first?
Well, you can't beat the beast unless maybe they bring Jackie Chen over, which I would love to see that in competition, but.
So what are you presenting?
I think it's gonna be another fucking I'm ready to see another world championship from Paul. Dude.
So you're saying that
I think he's gonna come back and just dominate the season.
And become a 6-time world champion.
6-time.
That's what you're saying?
Let me see that another slash on your disc, Paul. Come all on. Right, all right. Let's get that signature disc going.
So here's my thing.
They probably already have it printed off, like how they do like the national championships when they have the
and
other
they send
team.
The other ones overseas.
They already have Paul McBeth's merch stacked up for the 6-time. I guarantee it.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. They're like, yeah, he's probably gonna get another one. They're just waiting for the year.
Right.
So, well, okay. Adversely, I think Paul will not end up winning his 6th world championship this year.
All right.
See. And I hope he proves me wrong because that's just a good story. And obviously, this is what we do here. We like telling stories. So
right.
If there's a good story, I hope for it. But I don't think he will. A, it's in Utah, which is a wide open course. So you'll have players like Garrett Gerthy and Simon and Eagle. And I mean, one of the courses is wide open. So, but then you'll have like, nice, Chris Dickerson. And all of them are going to be there. I just don't think he's going to be able to hold on to it this year, especially coming off the injury. Now, he played well at the Wintertime Open, yeah. But like I said,
didn't really open up.
He couldn't really open up. And I feel like if he has to open up, it might put some wear and tear on the ankle. Now, he is saying that he's ending his season at the Memorial, which means that the USDGC is out and all that kind of stuff. Not Memorial, sorry, at Ledgestone. And which means that USDGC and stuff's out. I don't think so. I think he'll try to just battle through and play USDGC and maybe the Pro Tour finale, National Tour finale, and all that. But I don't think he's going to be well enough to have the same dominance he had last season. That's my bold prediction. I think he'll do well. I think he'll definitely win some like Pro Tours and National Tour events. But I think when it comes down to Worlds, he'll probably end up second.
So who do you think is going to take Worlds?
I don't know. There's a lot of up-and-comers that... I mean, Chris Dickerson. Yeah. He wins literally 50% of all the tournaments he joins.
I mean...
And he will be at Worlds this year. He's at Worlds every year, but he notoriously doesn't travel west of Kansas, and Worlds is in Utah, and he'll be there. So that's like the farthest he's traveled west for a tournament.
All right. I don't know. I would say, if not Paul, Calvin. Because
Calvin's do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's
that,
like...
That guy's an animal.
He is an animal. But he also... I've seen him fall apart. It's whether he has that good weekend or week or whatever it is for Worlds.
Yeah. I mean, just the end of last season, watching him play, it was so... I don't know. It was just like watching a super metal pony run through the distance with no emotion, you know? It was majestic, but like... kind of almost emotionless at the same time, but
yeah,
I like how precise.
He's a Terminator.
Yeah, he's
sure.
The Terminator.
He needs to not be called the Limestone Cowboy and be called, was it T-1000?
Yeah.
He needs to be, T-1000 for sure. Like, I want a Terminator themed disc coming out. That'd be sweet. I'd love that. All right. Second prediction.
What do you got for your second prediction?
I want to hear yours first, bud.
I mean, Eagle's always a go-to.
Okay.
Like, I think Eagle or, like, I just really love watching Simon play. He is due for a world championship. I know there's people better than Simon.
So
but
you're
like,
saying that Paul will take another world champion?
But
you're also saying that Simon might?
Listen, I think if I wanted to have like a lead card for the world championship, it would be like Paul and then Eagle and Simon and Kelvin. That would be my four.
That would be a great card.
Like, because I know Ricky's going to kill it. Like, right. You can't lead Ricky out of the whole situation, but
So what is this prediction about Simon? Simon or Eagle?
I just want, like, I don't know. They're going to do well this year. I think they're definitely going to... Eagle's already number 3.
Right, in the world rankings.
And Simon's, like, number 5, so I'm not sure if they're going to go up any higher, per se.
I think if anybody... out of those two go up higher, I think it will be Eagle. I don't think Simon is going to get worse, but I don't think he's going to, like, jump too many spots this year.
Listen, the world rankings go, like, goes Dickerson, Simon, Jackie Chen, then Scott Withers.
Well, that's just PDGA. That's not world, because Jackie PDGA Chen hasn't played in too many right events to be included in the world rankings.
But
it's just PDGA rankings.
Scott Withers is right behind him.
I know. That's a whole other thing that we'll talk about on another episode. I don't even want to get into that right now. It's, we'll get into that in another episode. So you're thinking that Eagle or Simon is going to jump a few spots in the world rankings this year? Is that your prediction?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I believe that they're going to jump up in the world rankings this year, yeah. I believe Philo's going to jump up, too, because he was way down there when I checked. Like,
right, yeah.
I was kind of surprised I had to go to, like, page 2 to find Philo. Like,
right, yeah.
The guy's, he's... like, dominant. One of the
for sure.
couple people that did an albatross. So,
yeah, and one of the most well-respected disc golfers in the biz, as we like to call it. We don't call it that. Nobody calls it that.
In the biz.
In the biz. So my second prediction is that Zach Melton will actually take down a national tour or a pro tour event this year. Obviously, all we've done is watch past coverage from Central Coast and from Jomez and whoever else that just happened to pop up on our YouTube feed this winter. And Zach Melton's been on a lot of lead cards. And he's kind of due, I feel like. He'll have a couple good rounds and then fall off on that third round. But if he didn't fall off on that third round, I think he could be in contention. At least, if not second, if not first, second, you know? I think that if he continues on that trend, that he will be able to bag one. That's my boldest prediction.
Boldest prediction. That's a pretty bold prediction.
It's a pretty bold prediction. Don't let me down, lefty. Do not let me down. I'm not a lefty, but I don't know how to throw with the wrong hand.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's good to be the best at being a lefty, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, Who is that other lefty player? That
Chris Clemens.
Yeah, Chris Clemens. Yeah, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good. He's I think 14th in the world rankings right now, and he jumped up from like 32nd or something like that. So he had a good year, but you know, at Great Lakes Open, Zach Melton was on lead card. I can't remember there's about two or three where I see him on lead card with Paul. You know, so like he's there. He just needs to dial it in a little bit more. And I think he's going to do that this season. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. In these here bones. All right, what's your third prediction?
I don't know, man.
You're afraid to say. Make a crazy prediction. Just an absolute insane. Say Kale LaVisca is going to win Worlds. Or...
I don't know, man. I already put Paul as Worlds.
Yeah,
I know. Simon and Eagle, I think they have contention.
Say Austin Turner is going to win USDGC. Something. Austin Hannum is going to win USDGC.
Austin Hammes is heckin' fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Adam Hames is going to...
Adam Hammes?
Yeah. God damn it. I think he is probably going to take... he is such a good player.
I wouldn't see him... I wouldn't doubt him wielding an NT or a Pro Tour event this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's just so clinical, man. He comes in and just gets what he needs to have done. And I don't know. Garrett Gerthy, I think, was also up there for me.
I mean, he did beat Paul in Michigan last year.
Yeah.
The CCR.
But, when he was playing...
He threw it at MVP Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one where they had the stack of discs, right?
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Anybody notice that? So right off of hole 18, I believe it was either the clubhouse or maybe it was the pro shop that they had there. Just outside, had just
piles of discs.
Piles of discs.
Were people standing on them?
Yeah, and people are just walking all over them. I don't know if anybody knows that. Go back to the coverage either on Central Coast or Jomez, because I think they both had cards. And go fast forward to hole 18, whatever. But just look off by the pro shop. I think it was a pro shop. And there's just discs that look almost like stepping stones. Or
like rocks.
Like landscaping rocks.
Yeah.
I thought they were painted rocks at first until I realized. Well, Travis actually pointed out to me, those are discs and people are just walking all over them.
Yeah. We had to really rewind it and check it again. But I'm pretty sure those are discs.
I'm almost positive that they just have discs piled up there.
But it was like rainbow, like a whole rainbow of discs.
It looked
great.
There's
so many of them.
But why are they there? And why are people stepping on them?
What in the hell?
Like, don't... just beating them in for other people, I guess. I don't know what they were doing.
Beating discs, $25.
All right. My third prediction. All right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I don't think you're ready for this, Jelly.
You don't think so?
My third prediction is that Katrina Allen is going to win Worlds on the FPO side.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So she swept the national tour last season, but her thing was inside the circle putting.
Right.
I haven't seen much from her on Instagram. We haven't heard much from her. You know, Prodigy hasn't put much out on her this off season. I think she's been taking the time to dial it in, and if that's the case, she's going to be dominant for the FPO.
Why doesn't she put out YouTube videos or whatever Paige does? I think there's no such thing as bad publicity. You know,
it's true.
Especially this time of year when we're searching through everything to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna get at least a couple views from us.
Definitely, for sure. I don't know. Some people just don't want that kind of light on them. Some people don't know how to be that kind of, personality. And maybe, even if she had plans for it, maybe she's like, I need to get my game in order before I take time to do this instead of that.
Right. I wasn't even necessarily thinking on the FPO side. I mean, again, Paige Pierce is 5-time.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to dispute that. But I've been watching a lot of Hannah play, and I think she's pretty all right.
Which Hannah actually took fourth at the Wintertime Open. She cashed. She did all right. She ended at plus 13.
Hell yeah.
Which the Jessica Weiss, I believe, was the winner of the FPO side. Yeah, Jessica Weiss, plus 4 at the end of the event. So Hannah did okay. She was the last one to cash. Took home $2,200. She did $2,200.
Yeah, holy cow.
$220. She won more than Paul. She's the breadwinner.
She's the breadwinner. Got her.
No, I think my last, I think Katrina Allen, I think she's taking this offseason to really work on a Circle One. And I would put money down. I'm not going to bet my house, but I'd put like a couple bucks down that she would win Worlds this year. I guess we'll see.
I mean, in that Brody video where they were playing in the stadium,
mm-hmm.
Hannah made that tunnel shot from, like, down the field.
That's true.
And, like, that's precision, man. Like, there's no way I'm hitting that.
Right. Right.
Brody couldn't even hit that.
I want Hannah to do well.
Yeah, I think she is going to do because quite well this year.
She's really taking the time to, like, work on it.
Right.
Like, she knows that a lot of the opportunity that she's got is because of Paul. But right. She's not letting it go to waste. She's actually, like, taking the time, going through the motions, learning her form. And she's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
I will give her that. So I hope she does well, but I don't think she's going to be beating Katrina Allen at Worlds this year. That's my last prediction. All right, on to Las Vegas Challenge.
The Las Vegas Challenge. There's no question of who I think is going to win this.
You think Simon's going to win.
Obviously.
You do.
Yeah, obviously. Right. But, I mean, Nico's there, and so is Garrett.
Right.
But I was kind of banking on Garrett. I was hoping to watch him in the lead card, man.
Yeah,
he never
made lead card at the Wintertime
Open. I was really wanting to watch him because I just, especially him and Austin, their battle between their power.
Oh, that'd be so
nice. That would have been so good.
So nice.
But.
This one's hard. I mean, if you go by ratings, I mean, Simon is right there.
Simon is right there.
But I mean, Wysocki's gonna be there too. Calvin, Kevin Jones, ooh. Sexton,
Scott Withers.
Let's not get to Scott Withers right now. Let's not do that.
I hope he's on the lead card. I want to see him play.
I mean, Seppo, Emerson, Jordan Castro, coming off his new MVP sponsorship, is gonna be there.
Oh shit.
Nate Perkins, obviously, coming out straight from Asia. Like, a lot of big names. Eric Oakley, AJ Risley.
Philo was just everywhere.
This is Discmania's secret weapon, Ascari Wikström.
Oh.
He did play at the Wintertime Open, and he didn't do all that great.
Right.
But he might be, this is the one that's been known to be called the third Crush Boy. So he might be able, on a wide open course like Las Vegas, be able to do something. So we'll see. We'll definitely keep an eye on it for that. My pick. Oh, man, this is hard, and it's an A tier, which like makes it even harder because it like it doesn't fully mean much. It does. Like they're gonna get paid, but like as far as like national tour and pro tour rankings, like it doesn't mean much.
That is kind of tough because Sexton's there too.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to argue with him.
Exactly.
Kevin Jones is a beast of a putter.
And Ricky's coming off the line. I don't know.
Has he been playing a lot? I don't really get anything from him either.
I do follow him on Instagram, but I don't really follow like check stories as much as I should. So I've seen him putting a few times, and I've seen him driving recently. I believe at the Memorial, the golf course at the Memorial's at. I'm not sure. But I don't.
I mean, Kel placed fourth at the Wintertime, yeah? We'll see.
All right. My prediction is that Calvin Heimberg will walk away from Las Vegas in first place.
Kelvin is a beast.
If I had to put top four, Calvin, Ricky, LeCastro, sorry, and Sexton. I'm going to say it. I think Garrett will be fifth or sixth. He'll be right there, but I don't think he'll be top four. That's my prediction for Las Vegas Challenge.
Man, with those long open holes, I think it's going to be Kelvin, Simon. I'm going to go with Double G because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And Kevin Jones.
Okay. I'll You're not Kevin even putting Jones. Ricky in top four.
I wouldn't put Ricky in the top four, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I
He's coming off that Lyme disease, and I really haven't seen him play, and I don't know how it's going to be, so it's going to be, like, iffy for me, you know? Like.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, it's going to be an ongoing thing throughout the season, too, because it's been known, like, Zach Melton has Lyme disease, and he's missed a few events because it flares up every once in a while. So it's a thing, and we'll continue, obviously.
Hopefully that don't flare up during Worlds.
Yeah, exactly. That'll blow your prediction. Could you imagine? Well, it doesn't blow my prediction. I don't think Ricky. I don't think Ricky's going to take Worlds, but I think
you're talking about Melton.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I said he'll win a national tour, a pro tour event. Oh. So
I thought you said it was about time to win a world.
No. No, I don't think Worlds at all.
That's a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction, but I do think he'll take either a national tour or pro tour event. Hmm. But I think it's going to be something to watch from Ricky. He seems like he's eating healthier and stuff, but it definitely does, you know, it messes with you. So we'll see how it goes.
I like that map that they got going on.
Yeah,
there.
It's not a bad little facility layout for the Las Vegas Challenge there. That's kind of cool. I believe Jomez will have coverage of that. Hell and yeah. It is a national tour, so I don't know. I know Smashbox is doing live coverage for the Pro Tour this season, so I don't know if there's going to be any live. I wouldn't say so. With it being an A tier.
Right. Because it's not the official start of the season yet.
Yeah. So, but we'll get next day for sure, at least. So there's that. And
which, oh man.
We should have a challenge. We need to do a challenge. Let's not do it for this one. But for the national tours and pro tours, we should make our predictions for who's getting first. And, you know, loser has to do something. Put it up on Instagram. Anybody that follows us. By the way, thanks for the 103 followers that we have now.
Yeah, that's
on the Instagram, considering the first episode we ever recorded is lost.
It's gone.
It's in the land of the lost. But, yeah, so that's cool. So, yeah.
Maybe sign up to Patreon to get that lost episode.
Ooh, maybe.
Because if you really want to hear what we had, I know we kind of covered a little bit of it today, but...
Yeah,
if you really want it.
If you
want
to hear a good Stone Cold Steve Austin joke that I thought was pretty awesome, sign up for our Patreon, and I might upload it there. It's patreon.com/ another disc golf pod. Go and sign up there. So is that it? Yeah, that's about it for all today. It's been slow. I'm ready for this tour to pick up. So there's
This next round, like this next round of wintertime. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah,
like
it should be up in a couple hours.
Yeah, another couple hours.
So let's talk about where you can find us. You can find us on Instagram at another DG podcast. You know, follow the 103 other people that have followed us and follow us there. That'd be greatly appreciated. We do have a Patreon, like I said earlier, patreon.com/anotherdiscgolfpod. The tiers will be updated. I have tentative tiers up right now. I'm just kind of seeing, you know,
testing the waters.
Yeah. Testing the waters, seeing what kind of things, you know, people are into.
Yeah. What you guys like. We're all about you guys.
I do plan on doing merch, but I'm not going to get merch printed out until it's viably, you know.
Yeah.
Until we have enough patrons, basically. I know we're new. I'm not going to be like, oh, people are going to follow us, because you guys might not.
Yeah.
So,
might not even like us at all. Who knows? But we still enjoy your company.
We love you guys.
Yeah, we love you.
Don't leave us. Don't you ever leave us. I'll find you. Big shout out to Broken Diamond Designs. Are the ones that do the graphics. They'll actually be the ones that design our t-shirts if we get enough patrons. You can find them on Instagram at bdiamonddesigns or brokendiamond.co. Just got a new website up, so that's pretty cool.
They do everything from like band merch to anything you can really.
Anything you need. Logos for businesses.
Amazing.
It's amazing. They do amazing work there. Yeah. So hit those up. But that's it for today. So until next week, this has been the second episode of Another Disc Golf Podcast.
The first seen one?
Yeah.
Oh. We'll get at you guys.
Okay, bye.
Hey, bye.